feel the Lord has certainly been with us today, this morning. I feel He was certainly with Brother Charles as he stood before us and prayed and been with us in the song service. I felt His manifest presence and saw on your faces the evidence of the movement of the Spirit of God. And it's just a joy to see each and every one of you that are here this morning. I have a passage of Scripture that's on my mind that I know is very familiar to you, but I pray the Lord would just bless us to look at it together for a little while this morning, and may the Lord bless us to feed on the truth of His Word that helps to guide us and direct us here in this world as His children. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn with me, I'd like to read to you this morning from Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, and we'll begin reading at verse 22 and read down through verse 33 of Matthew 14. When we read in Matthew 14, verse 22, we have just read prior to that of the account of the Lord feeding the 5,000 men beside the women and children. The great miracle of the Lord taking that little lad's loaves and fishes, two fishes and five loaves, and breaking it and blessing it and dispersing it among so many that were in need of being fed. And the Lord was able to feed with that little lad's loaves and fishes 5,000 men beside the women and the children. And the people there had gotten such a view of Jesus that they saw Him as such as who He really was. I mean, He was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but they also understood Him to be that prophet that was testified in the Old Testament, the one that was going to come. They saw Him to be the one that was coming. Now, they had some misunderstandings about what He was coming to do. Many people still have misunderstandings about what Jesus came to do and what He came and accomplished. They felt that Jesus was coming for the purpose of bringing them out from underneath the Roman government and setting up a temporal or a timely kingdom here in this world, and that kingdom was about to be ushered in, and that they thought that's what was going to happen here. They didn't have an understanding that He came and did establish His kingdom, but His kingdom was a spiritual kingdom, and they didn't have a clear understanding of what was taking place. The natural loaves and fishes, there were many who followed the Lord. There was a mixed multitude that followed the Lord here because they were being fed. I mean, where the Lord was, there was prosperity. I mean, people got fed. When people were sick, there were those that were healed. There were the hungry were fed. Even no one, as we read about in the Scripture, as they told Martha and Mary told Jesus, if you'd have been here, our brother wouldn't have died, because people didn't die. You know, it's amazing to think about someone whose very presence, you know, they understood could halt the very hand of death. And Jesus tarried there a while, and of course, death was no problem for the Lord, was it? Because when Lazarus, even though he was dead, when the Lord came on the scene, He just spoke and Lazarus came forth. And he even tarried for the purpose that they might see that He was the resurrection. But there were many here who did not have a view of who He was. And because of that, they were about to take Him and do everything they could, the disciples included, and make Him a temporal king. They wanted to He came to die, and He came to establish a kingdom. He came into this world, and the crucifixion and all that took place there was there by the predetermined counsel of God, that He would come and give His life. The determined counsel of God was that He would die, that He wasn't here to be made although He had the power to do that, that wasn't His purpose in coming. Because they looked at Him naturally and was perceiving Him naturally, He sent them away. And here He constrained His disciples to go away also. What I guess I'm saying by all that, I guess I need to let me read the passage. Just a whole lot here. He says, and straightway Jesus constrained His disciples to get into ship and to go before Him unto the other side while He sent the multitudes away. And when He had sent the multitudes away, He went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? When they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. And then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. Now, he had to send them away because they didn't want to leave. As a matter of fact, we read in another place in the scripture, they hung out there on the shore hoping to see him again and waiting for him. And when he didn't come, or they thought he was over on the other side, they didn't see him get into a ship and go because he didn't need a ship. But they went over to the other side that they might see him. They wanted to see him. Now, there was no doubt among them, some of them who really knew who he was in their heart spiritually and loved him and were followers of him in a right way. But we also know there were those who saw him as, boy, this, we stay near this fellow, we're going to be taken care of in a natural way. Because he's told them on one account that you follow me not because you love me, but because of the loaves and fishes. And he said, and I have bread that's a lot more valuable, a lot more important than the loaves and fishes. See, though he provided that natural bread. Today I hope we understand that if we have any food on our tables or any blessings in our life naturally, it comes from the Lord. All of it comes from the Lord. But I also believe he's given us food and drink in this world that the world can't know about. That is far more valuable and far more beneficial to us than all of the loaves and fishes. Though he's provided those too for us. Thank God for that bread and that food, but the blessings of spiritual food have been far more valuable to us than natural food. Here he said, straightway Jesus constrained, and that word constrained means he obligated them. He brought them under, they didn't really want to go, obviously. It wasn't like, okay, we're going to get on this ship and go on the other side. They really were almost brought into the place where they had to be under the direction and the discipline of the one they were following in order to do what he told them to do. And that is the real actions and walks of disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, if we today are the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are blessed. We are blessed. First of all, to be a disciple, you have to be one of his children. You can't be a disciple without being his child. You have to be born into the family. You have to be born from above. I can't born you again. And I can't born my own family again. I can't born anyone again. I can't make them love the Lord. I can't cause them to see what only God can cause them to see. I can't open up their ear. I can't open up their heart. I can't quicken the dead. I can't preach the gospel to the dead and quicken them. It takes the Lord and the work of God to quicken the dead. It is God who makes his children. And that is something the world, even many of God's children, get confused about. And they feel like it's the role of the little child of God to go in and make other children of God. And they're actively involved in that activity. And in doing that activity, they don't understand and realize that even that idea and thought dishonors God. You know, somebody said, well, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with that is not right. That's what's wrong with it. It's not scriptural. And that being not scriptural, it doesn't not only not honor God, it dishonors God when we attribute to the actions and the ability of man that which he cannot do. We take from the work of God that which only he can do. We should acknowledge him that if there's a little brother or sister that's alive, it's the Lord who's given them life. Couldn't help but think about that with little Sister Hazel. Every good thing in her life, every good thing in Sister Priest's life came because the Lord somewhere spoke life into her. And therefore, all of the blessings and the praise and the honor and the glory belongs to the Lord for that life. And not only her life, but you take all of those many dear old saints and brothers and sisters that have gone on, some that we read about in Scripture and some that live right among us today. If we have any good thing in this world, it's a result of what the Lord's done for us. And it's to Him that the praise and the honor and the glory belongs. And we ought to be thankful for them and certainly encourage them and compliment them along the way. But always remember this, so that we're not followers of men or worshipers of men. Men, always remember that every good thing, every good and perfect gift coming down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, no shadow of turning, so that we give the Lord the praise. Got some good things in your life? Well, you praise the Lord. You got a reason to praise the Lord. And if you can see that, you got an especially good reason to praise the Lord, because it's only His children that can see that. It's only God's children. Unless you've been awakened to see the goodness of the Lord, then you would not see it. Because though it's all around every man, and listen, the sun comes up in the morning on all kinds of men, just and unjust. The rain falls from heaven and waters the ground upon all kinds of people. The Lord feeds all of the nations of this world, and all of the good things they have in a natural way has come to them only by and through the grace of God. But it's only God who allows us to be able to know that. It's only by faith that we understand the worlds were framed by the work of God. And if you have faith, that's a gift of God that He's given to you, and only God could give that to you. And therefore, God forbid we'd ever give the preacher, the church, the work of man, any religious organization, mama, daddy, or anyone else the credit and the praise for that which only God can do. And when we preach salvation by grace, totally and completely by the work of the Lord, then we are going to ultimately honor the Lord. And if we preach anything added to that, we're going to detract from that message. And that's why it's so important for God's little children to understand that our Lord is the one who saves. We have a Savior. It's not me, it's not you, it's Him. And by the way, it's the only way you can really rest too. You wouldn't be resting very good if you thought I was your Savior. That boy, he's sometimes maybe he's on, but he's a lot of times off. And the ones who know me best know that better than the rest of you. Our Savior. Is the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Savior never failed. Our Savior never had to change His mind. Our Savior never had to say, oh, I made a mistake with what I said. I meant to say it this way. Our Savior never had to apologize. Our Savior never had to pray, God, forgive me of my sins, because He never committed any sins. The only time He offered that prayer, forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us, it isn't a prayer He was praying. It was a prayer He was teaching us how to pray. Because He never transgressed the will of God in thought or in deed in any action of His life. If He had of, His sacrifice would not have been accepted in the sight of a perfect God, and we'd still be in our sins, and there'd be no gospel to declare today. But because He was perfect, listen, He could walk on water. He didn't have any trouble walking on the water because He made the water. He didn't have any problem with that. He made the water that was there. The water stays in the boundaries that it's in because of His hand and His might. He treads upon the waves. He doesn't just walk on a nice, flat, level sea. He walks on the high waves of this, of the oceans of this world. And what does that mean? That means the troubles that so easily can overwhelm us. Our Savior has no trouble with those troubles at all. As a matter of fact, He's the one who controls the wind and the waves. I'm thankful for that. And He constrained them. I'm saying to you, a whole lot of our life is about being constrained. And the freest man in this world is the one who's constrained by the Lord Jesus Christ. That sounds like, boy, it sounds like you mixed up. How can you be constrained and free at the same time? You see, we have a way with us, the way of man, our way, my way. You got your way, I got my way. And that's the trouble it gets in all of our paths, is because I want my way, you want your way, and our ways are not the same. And so we're constantly in this old world doing this. We do it in our homes. We do it on our job. We do it riding up and down the highways. We do it when we buy and sell. We do it in this old world. This old world is so full of man wanting his way and this one wanting that way. And we all want our own way. And therefore, in order for us to truly find the way that is a way of peace and joy and contentment, we have to be willing to lay aside what we want and what we... And only God can give you that willingness. Only God can work that ability in you. But then once He's worked it in, you've got to put off, as He's taught us, put off that old man and his deeds and his wants and his ways and be submissive. Keep the old man under subjection. The old woman too, if you want to put her there. Keep her under subjection so that we are submitting ourselves to the Spirit of the Lord which is in our hearts if we're indeed born of His Spirit. You got what you want, but thanks be to God, there's a Spirit in you by the grace of God that is right, that will lead you in the right way, that will never lead you in the wrong way, that fits with the ideas and thoughts of this book. And this book is a lamp and a guide to us. That's why we need to know what's in it. So we know when I'm following, sometimes I'm following something and I think it's the right thing, but then when I go to God's Word, I'll see though I thought it was right, it doesn't fit God's Word. Guess what? That is that which is in me that is not of the Lord when I'm going that direction. We all have that old nature. One day we won't have that to contend with. That's a beautiful thing about death. One day we'll lay this old man down and all his wants to and all his ways, and we will be separated in that sense. This old body will go to sleep, and the soul and the spirit, which is born again of the Lord, will go home to be with the Lord, and that old warfare will be over. That battle with self will be over, and then when the Lord brings us back, body, soul, and spirit, because that's the way we'll be in heaven for eternity, He'll change that old man and make him like in fashion unto the glorious body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And that'll take the work and the power of Almighty God. And thanks be to God, we are waiting that. While we're here in this world, we have to be constrained. That means you just can't live like you want to, do what you want to, act like you want to. You may do those things, but you will be chastened along the way as you do it. We are to be constrained as the disciples were constrained to get into a ship and to go before Him unto the other side while He sent the multitudes away. He said, you go do this. And they were, notice, His disciples. They weren't just His children. They were His children, but they were disciples. There's a difference between being children of God and disciples of the Lord. My children sometimes are obedient, and sometimes they've been disobedient. Sometimes daddies even say the wrong things and tell them the wrong things and go the wrong ways with our best intent. And we mess up. But you and I spiritually have a Father who never leads us, never guides us in any of the wrong ways. And our duty and responsibility to the Lord, and I know you agree with this, is to always follow Him. We sing that hymn, where He leads me, I will follow. I hope that's your commitment today. Where He leads me, I will follow. I want to think like He would have me think. I want to walk where He would have me to walk. I want to live as He would have me to live. I delight in the law of God, Paul said, after the inward man. In other words, he had in him, he desired to follow the Lord. I don't believe you're here today because you didn't want to follow the Lord. I believe you're here today because you desired to worship Him. I believe you're here today because you desired to hear from His Word. You desired to be with others of God's children that would help encourage you and motivate you to follow the Lord. Your desire is to be His disciple. You want to be His disciple. Now, you wanting to be His disciple didn't come to you on your own. You have that burden in you because of that work of grace that the Lord worked in your heart. He's given you the want to. Somebody said, oh, God would make somebody do something they didn't want to do. That's why He offers Himself and leaves it up to you to make the choice. Listen, if He left it up to you and I to make the choice without an inward working of grace, the Bible says none of us would have received Him. No man would have come to Him. There was none of us who would have considered it anything but foolishness, because our natural eye, our natural ear, and our natural heart cannot see the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. They're foolishness unto us. But by the Spirit of God, He has revealed them unto us so that you and I understand the best way. Spiritually, you know this and I know this. Sometimes I don't do it. Sometimes I don't walk in it. Sometimes the old man rises up in me to my own hurt and detriment. But my desire is to follow the Lord today in my life. I want to follow Him in my thinking. I want to follow Him in my walk, in my talk, in my actions. Not to become His child, but because I am His child, I want to walk as a disciple. Now, what does that mean to be His disciple? Well, in one place He says, unless you love Me more than father and mother and other things in this world, that man cannot be My disciple. You see, disciple kind of carries the word discipline in there. There are some things, if you're going to be the Lord's disciple, following Him, you got to put off a lot of what you want, which isn't good for you. And that's what I love. Remember Brother Paul Troutman many years ago said, following the Lord's easy. He said, the only thing is, you got to give up things you can't keep in order to gain things you can't lose. And I thought, boy, that's a wonderful way to put it. In other words, we sometimes think, well, I can't live without that thing until you die, and then it's gone. And yet the things that you have in return that you give up some things, but listen, you can't keep them anyway. I'm telling you, in this old world, there's nothing more important for you and me as God's children than a walk with the Lord. To have Him being our guide and our director and our leader and the one who gives us, He gives us a daily our bread. He's the one who gives us a house and a home. He's the one who keeps my family together. The Lord is all the world to me. I want you to know in my heart, I understand without Jesus is all the world to me. Without Him, I will not make it. Yet sometimes I get on the old man who thinks he can handle it on his own. And but you know what that is? It's just a lie. It's the way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is a way of destruction. As we read last sometime, destruction and misery are in all their ways. That's the way I go when I go that way. They were committed to be His disciples. So even though they didn't want to get in the ship, they got in the ship. You know why? Because they were His disciples. And there are times I read in this book what I'm supposed to do, and I just plain don't want to do it. I mean, the old nature in me doesn't want to do it. Things, and you say, well, that sounds strange. Well, you really think about it, it's not strange. You have that too. Even though we may not want to confess it, and may not want to admit it sometimes, we know there is at times that we know exactly what the Lord would have us to do and how to act and what to say, when to be quiet, when to talk. We've been taught. Ministers have stood before us and preached this word. We've read it, understood it. We have a clear understanding of it, but rather than follow it, our old nature says, yeah, but this time I just want to tell that old man off. I want him to get a piece of my mind because he needs it and he deserves it. And he even says something so silly, I think the Lord would understand this time. Can I say this? God didn't change His mind at any time in His life. And His life is eternal. He's the eternal God. He doesn't make His mind up. What He said is going to work every time. He didn't say, okay, do it every once in a while. He didn't, as a brother said, He didn't give us 10 suggestions to live by. He gave us commandments. And the love of God is this, that we love the children of God and we keep His commandments. And listen, if we love, say we love Him and we don't follow Him and we're not walking as His disciples. Now get this, you can be His child and be like the little prodigal son who was the child of the father, be away from home. I'll tell you what the difference is. The one who is at home under the administration of the Lord is happy, and the one who's out in the world is sick. Sick of the world. You ever get out in the world and just get sick of it? Well, when you do, it's time to come home to a father who's seen you every step of the way. His eye's been upon you. Seeing you down there so hungry you would have eaten with the hogs, but nobody would give you anything to eat on. Not even the hog food. That's the way the world treats you. Think we got friends in the world? You just watch what happens. The world will hang with you as long as you got something for them to hang with you with. But when all that's gone, they're gone. Those friends are going to leave you. The friends that will stick with you are those that are in the heart taught by God to love, and their love doesn't come for him from any condition. It's unconditional love, and those friends will be there in this old world, and you always will have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother if everyone else either does forsake you or has to forsake you. See, at some point, everybody can't stay there all the time and be with you because we all are appointed. We have an appointment. If we live long enough, we will have an appointment with death. And we can't be here like we once were. All right. He constrained them to get in the ship. And I just see them right now in the ship. I know how I'd be. I didn't want to take his trip anyway. He said, get on the ship. We're going to the other side. But look what's happening. Here's the storm starts. Listen, the storm started right away. You ever feel like your life's a storm? You ever feel like you're just hanging on? You just feel like one trouble, one wave. And you know the waves come. And just think of that wave come. And your wave comes and you think, that one's going to get me and it's gone. You think, well, I'm all right until you look down there. And here comes another wave. And they're battling in the sea. When he had sent them multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. I love to think about this. This is something I need to do more of in my life. I know that this is here for me this morning. If it's not here for anyone else, I need more time alone with the Lord. Jesus took time to be alone with his Father, and he was always one with the Father. Why would he do this? In order to teach you and me the importance of the need you and I have to separate ourselves from the world and spend some time with the Lord, some time apart. Some time where our thoughts are with Him. We're in the meditation of His Word. We're communicating with Him in prayer and also listening from Him as He speaks to us out of His Word in our hearts. And as we do that in our lives, it'll better prepare us for walking in this world. Sometimes I think I got to get there and I got to do this. And I go completely unprepared. Listen, when we are living in this world, I believe we need some preparation, don't you? As you get hit with this and that, don't you need some instruction on how to handle it? Well, where do you get that? There's no better place to find the strength you need for living than to spend that time apart like Jesus did right here when he went up into the high mountain to pray. He went apart into that mountain to apart to pray. And when the evening was come, that means he prayed there, and he was there alone. He was all there alone. And the evening was come, the sun was setting, and he says, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea. And I'm telling you, they are on this ship. Didn't want to go, constrained of the Lord, doing what the Lord would have them to do, in the will of God, right on track. The world say, if you get in the will of God, your ship will be always smooth. Do you read that here? No, I'll tell you what, you're in the will of God, you're on a sea that's tossed. You got heights, you got troubles, you got problems, you got waves coming. If you feel like you're in trouble in this world, that's what life is. This life, the man that is born of woman, is a few days and full of trouble. And you will have that from the time you're born in this world until your time you die. And the only hope for us, the only help for us, is that one who can walk on the water, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'll tell you, with him, there isn't a trouble that's too big or too great that he can't calm the sea or make the sea calm or walk on the trouble. And he also gave Peter the ability to do that as well. And they were out on the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. I think of the old world and how contrary it is to the walk of the little child of grace. We sing a hymn, is this old world a friend of grace to help us on to God? And the answer to that, am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? Is this old world a friend of grace to help me on to God? I'm telling you, this old world, have you found it to be untoward the things of God, and you feel like I'm in a struggle here in this old world? It seems like when I want to do right, the world would take me another way. When I want to live right, the world says go another direction. It's not a help to help me follow the Lord. It's a hindrance. And listen, that's what these winds are, a picture of the world. This weird world is contrary to the things of God. If you find yourself caught up in the flow of this world, you're not on the right path. It seems to be easy at the moment, but it'll lead you down the path. When you get there, you go like, how did I get here? And Lord, help me. Lord, help me. to stay in that ship that you have prepared and given to me to live here in this world, to walk here in this world, to find the strength and the ability. And may I understand that the one who keeps that ship safe on a troubled sea is the one who told me to get into it in any way, constrained me to get into it. And may I continue to trust in Him and lean upon Him and know that even though I feel alone, and they were seemingly alone here, but we'll read another place in just a minute that His eyes was on them all the time. I love reading those things in the Bible. It's kind of like little gems the Lord gives you along the way. You read this and it sounds like, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. You look over in Mark 6 for just a minute. And as we read in Mark 6, look at verse 48. This is the same account given to us by the Lord in Mark 6. It says in verse 47, it says, and when evening was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and He alone on the land. Jesus is alone on the land, but watch this next part. And He saw them toiling and rowing. What does that mean? That means He was aware of where they were. Does it help you today to know that Jesus knows where you are? And if you've got trouble, Jesus knows your trouble. We have a hymn that speaks to that. Does Jesus care? Does Jesus know? Does He care? And the hymn writer says, I know He cares. Oh yes, He cares. I know He cares. His heart is touched with my grief. And when the days are weary and my sad heart is dreary, I know my Savior cares. I want you to know they were toiling on the sea. He knew they were toiling. His eye was upon them toiling. He had put them in the ship. He had directed them where to go. They were on the path He would have them be. They were His disciples. He saw them toiling. It wasn't easy. Listen, it was hard work. They did it the first watch of the night. They did it the second watch of the night. They did it the third watch of the night. And He watched them for three watches. And I'm telling you, 9 hard hours at least of rowing. They did. Every minute thinking, my, this ship is going to go down. The only thing that would have ever kept them in any peace at all about that ship not going down was their faith in the Lord and what He said. And their faith had grown weak. You ever feel like my faith beat up? I've been trusting in You, Lord. I've been leaning on You. I think that's what Psalm 403 is all about. I think it's a brother who's writing, his faith has gotten a little shaken. So when I see others living so wicked year after year, why am I having these problems? Listen, and when our faith gets weak, we start seeing others as doing a little better than we are, when we really ought to remember, listen, if I really got what I deserve, things would be a whole lot worse with me than they are. God's really been good to me. These disciples were in the most blessed place they could be. They were in the will of God. They were in the safety of a ship that could have never sunk. No more than God could have failed. And they were enjoying, or could have been enjoying, the storm. When a storm comes, do you enjoy them? You know, I've heard of men who said they enjoy them. And I've enjoyed them until a couple of them got real close to home. And then when they start doing things, you go like, whew, I get a little scared about it. I've enjoyed, sometimes just because you don't have sense enough to know how much damage can be done by the storm, that you enjoy them. But you can have peace if you understand, and I want to get this, in the storms of our life, you and I, in the midst of the trouble, can understand that we are never outside of the watch care of the Lord, and His hand is upon us, and He's guiding us. And if we're, as we're following Him, even in the storm, the Lord will never leave us, never forsake us. We can even, and that's what He meant in that Philippian letter that I never got to that part, but the Philippian letter says, rejoice always, and again I say rejoice. That's how you can rejoice, even in tribulation. You know, you can talk, I rejoice in tribulation. Then when tribulation comes, a lot of times we ain't rejoicing. And I'm not talking about being happy about the tribulation. I'm talking about toiling in the storm, but always trusting in the Lord. The Lord's with me. And that's the way I can have peace in the midst of that battle. You're not happy when your loved ones get sick, but you can realize God's with me in this battle. I'm not alone. When you lose your loved ones, you're not happy about losing your loved ones, but God is with me. God is supplying what I need. And there's a better place than here. And heaven is there for God's little children. And one day all of them will be at home with Him in glory. And we'll understand it all better by and by. Though many times I may not understand it all here. His eyes, I want you to get that verse. He said, and He saw them toiling and rowing. He saw them. Now whether He's... And listen, they were out in the ocean, out in the sea, on the Sea of Galilee, 3 or 4 miles. How did He see them? Can you see 3 or 4 miles? No, I believe He saw them. I believe He saw them with that omniscient eye that He was verily man, yes, but He was verily God. He didn't leave that aside. He saw them by the same power that allowed Him to walk on that water to them. He saw them and He knew them. He's the King of Kings. That's where He is today. Seating on the right hand of the Father, but He's also right with us here this morning. I believe He knows every need, every problem, every trouble we have. He knows where our loved ones are. Things that you're worried about this morning, that you're troubled about and can't fix. Brethren, you can rest in this. The Lord knoweth them that are His, and He knoweth their needs. And we can rest in that. That's why when we pray, we can take our burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Cast our cares upon them. Upon the Lord, for He careth for you. He sees us in our troubles. All right. They were tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. Back to verse 25 of Matthew 14. He says, and in the fourth watch of the night, 6 to 9, gone. First watch, over. 9 to 12, second watch, over. 12 to 3, third watch, over. And now in the fourth watch, He's seen them all along, He comes. You ever just feel like, why in the Lord showed up? Well, here we are. I've been praying. Have you been there? I know you've been there because I've heard a lot of times brethren call and say, Brother Gary, I'm just praying, but I'm not getting an answer. Isn't it wonderful the Lord answers at just the right time, and it's always His time? And it's always with purpose. God never does anything without purpose. He never comes 1 minute too early or 1 minute too late. He comes just at the right time, just at the right moment. And in those actions and in that work, sometimes in the most difficult, you learn things in the storm. You learn about your weakness in the storm. You learn about your inability in the storm. You have the pride knocked out of you in the storm. Now, it might have been one or two of these old boys that are pretty good fishermen that said, look, I've been on this sea before. I've handled a lot of storms. Bring it on. I can handle the storm. And he realized he'd gotten to the point that the ship was about to go down. There's many a man or woman in life who have to have that stuffing knocked out of them because they think I can handle it all, until life turns on them in such a way, God brings it in such a way that it makes them see it. I can't make it one more day without the Lord. Where are you this morning? I hope you're right there at the point that you know you won't make it out of this building today without the Lord. If I act like I'm supposed to today, it'll be by His grace that I do it. If I am the preacher that I'm supposed to be, it'll be only by His grace that I'm that preacher. If I'm the member that I'm supposed to be, it'll be only by His grace that I'm that member. If I'm the mama, the daddy, the husband, the wife, the child, whomever. If you belong to the Lord, you as His disciple are dependent upon the Lord in His direction in your life. And I need Him. And nothing teaches you that better sometimes than a storm. There they were. And here comes, and at the night Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. I love to think about this. And I've thought about it many times. You know, sometimes you'll see one of those little pictures of Jesus walking on the water. And he was nice. It's a nice little sea. And looks like glass almost. And the reflections coming off the landscape and everything all around it. I'm telling you, that's not the picture. You look at one of those oceans and one of those seas where the storm and the tempest is coming, and you see the waves. I want you to see one treading upon the waves. That's what Job said he does, treads upon the waves. He didn't walk on it. He could have walked on the smooth water, no problem at all. He could have smoothed it out first. He did smooth it out. But he came walking on that trouble. He didn't have to take the trouble away to get to them. He didn't have to smooth out the path. He walked on the trouble. He was bigger than all the trouble. Can you get that picture? I hope so. So when you're in the midst of the storm and you think, can't anybody reach me here? You know there's one who treads upon the storms. And he came walking to them. And say, what if it had been there their faith that caused all of this. Suppose that it was dependent upon them. Listen, they were scared. Even when they saw him and he was so close and near to them, they didn't recognize him, because that's the way we are sometimes, even as his children. These were his disciples. They weren't those that weren't his children. Sometimes when he's nearest to us and we're nearest to deliver, we don't recognize him and won't recognize him until he makes himself known. And he lovingly did that. Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when his disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled. I wonder why they were troubled. Here, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. They believed it was some kind of demonic spirit. There are all kinds of ideas and thoughts in this world. And there are demons in this world. A lot of people say, you believe in ghosts? No, I don't believe in ghosts in the sense of people coming back from places and haunting places. But I'm telling you, there's demonic forces and spirits in this world. There are demons in this world. And I we know that from the scripture. And I won't get into that a whole lot, because I could stay there a while. But there they saw this. They didn't understand it was the Lord. And did not. And they were frightened about that. And it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. And Jesus, it says in one place, I won't turn there, but in one of the other accounts, it might have been in Mark, it says, and he went as if he would go by them, and walk by them. Maybe I ought to turn to that just to show you. I love the little facial expressions that tell me I need to turn there. I like that. I tell you what, you don't take anything for granted. Any preacher, whoever it is, you say, okay, all right, show it to me. All right. That same verse, 48, it says, for the wind was contrary to them, and about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh upon them, walking upon the sea, get this, and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out. He heard their cry. Listen, God's little children, we cried to the Lord. And he heard their cry, and for they all saw him and were troubled, and immediately he talked with them. Isn't that good when he talks with you? Oh, that's what that, I come to the garden alone, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And when they're in that trouble, and you're in that wonderful meditation with the Lord, listen, that garden can, I believe they had that garden experience right on this troubled ship, don't you? I do. He said this to them. His disciples saw him walking on the sea. They were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. There's the gospel. Those little brokenhearted sinners feel like they're going to hell. They're not going to hell. They just need to be told about the Savior who died for them and saved them from the hell that they're fearful of, because they know what they deserve. He's the one who allowed them to know what they deserve, and the message comes from him. You're not about to go down in destruction. I love you. Be of good cheer. It is I. I am your Savior. I am your King. I am the one who has the power to walk on the waves, and there's not anything that's going to sink your ship. I'm the one who told you to get here. And I'm going to take care of you. You know this? If Jesus tells you to go somewhere, he'll provide the way and the means. That's why we believe as old Baptists, we don't have to come together with a whole bunch of people and get collections and all these kinds of things to send men here and there and other places. We believe as the Lord calls them and directs them, he will provide for them. Now, he may move us to help them as they go. And I believe we'll do that. But that we don't believe in man-made organizations to bring that about. And somebody said, well, y'all believe in missions? I'm telling you, there were men that came through this area preaching the gospel and constituting churches from here in Virginia all the way over to Kentucky and all the way across to California. They went across this land preaching the gospel. Old Baptist preachers went preaching the gospel. And if the Lord moves my heart to go somewhere, I should do like Philip. I should get up and go. And as I go, God will take care of me. And do you believe that? I do. And I'm telling you, he not only does that for preachers, he'll do that for you. You may think, well, it's just going to cost me to do too much if the Lord tells me to do that. I can't do that. I can't. How am I going to make it? I want you to know whatever you have in your pocket right now is a result of God's grace for you. And the one who put it in your pocket can put more there. And if you need more, and if you don't need more, you don't need more. And therefore, you'll get have what you have. Sounds like we ought to be happy, doesn't it? Ought to be content. Yes. Lord, help old Gary be content. And you. But let me be content first. Not first. That's selfish too, isn't it? Y'all know what I'm saying. I need this more than anybody else. There are sometimes I look at my life and I get discontent. When I ought to look at it and realize, see the handiwork of God and the many blessings He's so richly given to me. Enough so that I can trust Him for whatever is coming today and whatever He brings tomorrow. God, help me be thankful. And if I'm in the midst of the storm, be thankful that He gave me a ship to be in. And know that He can either solve this and make the sea still, or He'll carry me to the other side. As long as I'm walking in His way that He's led me, and this book guides me in that way, then I am in the hands of one who cannot fail. How can you know that? Only one way, by faith. How do you have faith? It's a gift of God. If you have faith, you got to use your faith though. It's you can have even a little faith. Somebody say, how much faith you need? If you have the faith of a grain of a mustard seed, you can say on the yon mountain, get thee hence, and it'll rise up and go. It has to move. And that is a mountain that has to be moved. It's not something you use to go out and show off with. It's something when you have a problem, you trust the Lord, He'll remove it. He doesn't do everything you want, because not everything you and I want is what ought to happen. But if it's a need, whatever it is, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I believe that. And the whosoever that call are His children, and the deliverances come in time and eternal. And you can have peace about the matter if you've called and left it in the hands of the Lord. Be settled with it. He said you shall be saved or delivered. You'll be, and that's the same word, delivered and saved. Sometimes it's timely. They hear it was timely for them. All right. When the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. They cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. That's the good news of the gospel. It is I. Be not afraid. Peter answered Him and said, Lord, if it be Thou, bid me come unto Thee on the water. And He said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. You know who else walked on a stormy sea? One of the Lord's disciples, who was walking in obedience to the commandment of the Lord, come, and he went, and the Lord gave him ability to walk on the sea. And as long as his eyes stayed on the Lord, he kept walking. And as soon as his eyes got off the Lord and on the waves, he went down under. I want you to know Jesus walked on the water by His own power. Peter walked on the water by the power of the Lord. And when he looked to the Lord, he had the ability to do whatever it was the Lord commanded him to do. And when he stopped looking to the Lord, he had no ability to do anything. And does that tell you about anybody else? I hope all of us, we understand that. I know the time is gone. I'd like to spend a little more time with this, but that's okay. When he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. That's where we get. And beginning to sink, he cried. Oh, he did know this though, didn't he? Lord, save me. Cried out, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. Did the Lord say, well, sorry, bud, you had your chance. You walked on the water for a while. It's up to you now. I hope you can get out. Now, if he had, he'd have perished. He said, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand. How quick? Did it take him a long time? No, immediately. Because the need was immediate. And immediately the need was met. Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou little faith. And that's us, isn't it? Wherefore didst thou doubt? And I say to that to you and me today, when we get to doubting, remember this. Jesus said it to him, he said it to us. Why am I doubting? I've been praying and leaving it in the Lord's hands. Don't stop now. Hear me? You may think it's not happening, but you may be in the third watch. You know, you may be in the first watch. You might have two or three more watches to go. You don't know when the Lord's coming, but I'm telling you, his promise is he will deliver. And you can be settled on that by faith. He will deliver. And in the big picture, if you see this big picture as the sea being the life we're living in and the ship, His protection over us in this world, we'd get to the other side. We're going home to glory, and eventually there's going to be a complete deliverance. We're going over into that fruitful land that the Lord has prepared for us, and not one are going to miss that. Not one. We can just enjoy the storms, enjoy the peace and the rest that's in the work of God. All right. He said, and when Peter was come out of he walked on the water. When he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand, caught him, said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore did thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Now most of us would have thought, why didn't he just shut the wind down and be able to walk? It would have been a lot easier, just shut the wind down. Well, he did what he... God works in His own way. Have you seen that in your own life? God moves in mysterious ways. That's not a scriptural verse, but it's scripturally based. His wonders to perform. The wind ceased. And in another place, it says, and they were immediately at the land. It was like instantaneously they got to where they were going. Might have to turn there, but it's there. You look for that. Immediately they were at the land. And said, but the wind ceased. And when they were in the ship, and then they that were in the ship, the disciples, all those that were there, they had seen such spiritually and had seen so much, they worshipped Him, saying, "Of a truth, Thou art the Son of God." I hope we can look at our lives and His handiwork upon our life and all together today say in our heart, "Of a truth, surely Thou art the Son of God." That is, not the one who was created the Son, but the eternal Son of God, who was the living Word, who was with God, who was God, who made the water on which He walked, and by Him all things consist. That's the Lord we serve. And He's worthy of our trust and our praise. And I appreciate your kind attention this morning. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you. I love you, my brother. Bless you. 162.